We're starting chapter 16 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. This is called Professor Trelawney's Prediction. Harry's euphoria at winning the Quidditch Cup lasted at least a week. Even the weather seemed to be celebrating. As June approached, the days became cloudless and sultry, and almost anybody who felt like And all anybody felt like doing was strolling onto the grounds and flopping down on the grass with several pints of iced pumpkin juice, perhaps playing a casual game of gobstones, or watching the giant squid propel itself dreamily across the surface of the lake. But they couldn't. Exams were nearly upon them, and instead of lazing around outside, the students were forced to remain inside the castle, trying to bully their brains into concentrating, while enticing wafts of summer air drifted in through the windows. Even Fred and George Weasley had been spotted working. They were about to take their owls, ordinary wizarding levels. Percy was getting ready to take his newts, nasty, exhausting wizarding levels. Wizarding tests. The highest qualification Hogwarts offered. As Percy hoped to enter the Ministry of Magic, he needed top grades. He was becoming increasingly edgy and gave very severe punishments to anybody who disturbed the quiet of the common room in the evenings. In fact, the only person who seemed more anxious than Percy was Hermione. You know, the whole school setup is kind of ridiculous. They're studying magic, for God's sakes. And I find it bizarre that they have exams. I mean, there's no reason any school should ever have exams. So, you know, unless they're like one-on-one, just like yak with the professor type things. It's absolutely ridiculous. You think that this school would be more like a trade school or something from back in the Middle Ages, where it wasn't like you had an exam. It was more just like you had an apprenticeship, and they decided when you were ready because they knew you. But anyways, they've got their exams because it's exactly like an American or European middle school or high school. So, yes. Harry and Ron had given up asking her how she was managing to attend several classes at once, but they couldn't restrain themselves when they saw the exam schedule she had drawn up for herself. The first column read, Monday, 9 o'clock, Earthmancy, 9 o'clock, Transfiguration, Lunch, 1 o'clock, Charms, 1 o'clock, Ancient Runes. Hermione? Ron said cautiously, because she was liable to explode when interrupted these days. Are you sure you've copied down those times right? What? Snapped Hermione, picking up the exam schedule and examining it. Yes, of course I have. Is there any point in asking how you're going to sit for two exams at once? Said Harry. No, said Hermione shortly. Hey, have either of you seen my copy of Numerology and Grammatica? Well, yeah, I borrowed it for a bit of bedtime reading, said Ron, but very quietly. Hermione started shifting heaps of parchments around her table, looking for the book. Just then, there was a rustle at the window, and Hedwig flew through a note clutched tight in her beak. It's from Hagrid, said Harry, ripping the note open. Buckbeak's appeal. It's set for the 6th. That's the day we finish our exams, said Hermione, still looking everywhere for her Earthmancy book. And they're coming up here to do it, said Harry, still reading from the letter. Someone from the Ministry of Magic, and an executioner. Hermione looked up, startled. They're bringing an executioner to the appeal? But that sounds as though they've already decided. Yeah, it does, said Harry slowly. They can't, Ron howled. I've spent ages reading up on stuff for him. They just can't ignore it all. But Harry had a horrible feeling that the Committee for the Disposal of Dangerous Creatures had its mind made up for it by Mr. Malfoy. Draco, who had been noticeably subdued since Gryffindor's triumph in the Quidditch final, seemed to regain some of his old swagger for the next few days. From sneering comments Harry overheard, Malfoy was certain Buckbeak was going to be killed, and seemed thoroughly pleased with himself for bringing about... Why the hell does Malfoy care about whether or not this bird gets killed? Like, seriously. Oh, man. It was all Harry could do to stop himself imitating Hermione and hitting Malfoy in the face on those occasions. And the worst thing of it all was that they had no time or opportunities to go see Hagrid, because the strict new security measures had not been lifted, and Harry didn't dare retrieve his invisibility cloak from below the one-eyed witch. Exam week began, and an unnatural hush fell over the castle. The third years emerged from transfiguration at lunchtime on Monday, limp and ashen-faced, comparing results and bemoaning the difficulty of the tasks they had been set, which had included turning a teapot into a tortoise. Hermione irritated the rest by fussing about how her tortoise looked more like a turtle, which was the least of everyone's worries. Mine's a lot of sprout for a tail, what a nightmare. Were the tortoises supposed to breathe steam? It still had a willow-patterned shell. Do you think that'll count against me? Sorry, I lost my place. Okay. Then, after a hasty lunch, it was straight back upstairs for the charms exam. Hermione had been right. Professor Flitwick did indeed test them on cheering charms. Harry slightly overdid his out of nerves, and Ron, who was partnering him, ended up in fits of hysterical laughter and had to be led away to a quiet room for an hour before he was ready to perform the charm himself. After dinner, the students hurried back to their common rooms, not to relax, but to start studying for Care of Magical Creatures, Potions, and Astronomy. Hagrid presided over the Care of Magical Creatures exam the following morning, with a very preoccupied air indeed. His heart didn't seem to be in it. He had provided a large tub of flesh flobberworms to the class and told them that to pass the test, their flobberworm had to still be alive at the end of 1 hour. As flobberworms flourished best if left to their own devices, it was the easiest exam any of them had ever taken, and also gave Harry, Ron, and Hermione plenty of opportunity to speak to Hagrid. "Beaky's getting a bit depressed," Hagrid told them, bending low on the pretense of checking that Harry's flobberworm was still alive. "Been cooped up too long. But still, we'll know day after tomorrow, one way or the other." They had potions that afternoon, which was an unqualified disaster. Try as Harry might, he couldn't get his confusing concoction to thicken, and Snape, standing watch with an air of vindictive pleasure, scribbled something that looked suspiciously like a zero onto his notes before moving away. Then came astronomy at midnight, up on the tallest tower. History of Magic on Wednesday morning, in which Harry scribbled everything Florian Fortescue had ever told him about medieval witch hunts, wishing he could have had one of Fortescue's choco nut sundaes with him in the stifling classroom. I don't remember who Florian Fortescue is. Did they have like a, was that like an ice cream parlor or something back at whatever that place is called? Presumably. Wednesday afternoon meant herbology in the greenhouses under a baking hot sun, and then back to the common room once more with sunburnt necks, because wizards don't have sunscreen, thinking longingly of this time next day when it would all be over. Their second-to-last exam on Thursday morning was Defense Against the Dark Arts. Professor Lupin had compiled the most unusual exam any of them had ever taken, a sort of obstacle course outside in the sun, where they had to wade across a deep paddling pool containing a Grindylow, cross a series of potholes full of red caps, squish their way back across a marsh while ignoring the misleading directions from a hinky pink, and then climb into an old trunk and battle with a new Bogart. "Excellent, Harry," Lupin muttered as Harry climbed out of the trunk, grinning. "Full marks." Flushed with his success, Harry hung around to watch Ron and Hermione. Ron did very well until he reached the hinky pink, which successfully confused him into sinking waist-high into the quagmire. Hermione did everything perfectly until she reached the trunk with a bogart inside. After a minute inside it, she burst out again, screaming. "Hermione," said Lupin, startled, "what's the matter?" "Professor McGonagall," Hermione gasped, pointing into the trunk. "She said I'd failed everything." It took a little while to calm Hermione down. When at last she'd regained a grip on herself, she, Harry, and Ron went back into the castle. Ron was still slightly inclined to laugh at Hermione's bogart. "Hang on, Bart's calling me. Let me see how he is." Alright, we'll continue now. For you, there was no break, but for me, there was like a 45-minute break. Let's see where we were. Ron, so Hermione just says, Ron was still slightly inclined to laugh at Hermione's Bogart, but an argument was averted by the sight that met them at the top of the steps. Cornelius Fudge, sweating lightly in his pinstriped cloak, was standing there staring out at the grounds. He started at the sight of Harry. Hello there, Harry, he said. Just had an exam, I expect. Nearly finished? Yes, said Harry. Hermione and Ron, not being on speaking terms with the Minister of Magic, hovered awkwardly in the background. Lovely day, said Fudge, casting an eye over the lake. Pity, pity. He sighed deeply and looked down at Harry. I'm here on an unpleasant mission, Harry. The Committee for the Disposal of Dangerous Creatures required a witness to the execution of a mad hippogriff. As I needed to visit Hogwarts to check on the black situation, I was asked to step in. Does that mean the appeal's already happened? Ron interrupted, stepping forward. No, it's scheduled for this afternoon, said Fudge, looking curiously at Ron. Then you might not have to witness an execution at all, said Ron stoutly. The hippogriff might get off. Before Fudge could answer, two wizards came through the castle doors behind them. One was so ancient he appeared to be withering before their very eyes. The other was tall and strapping, with a thin black mustache. Harry gathered that they were representatives of the Committee for the Disposal of Dangerous Creatures, because the very old wizard squinted towards Hagrid's cabin and said in a feeble voice, Dear, dear, I'm getting too old for this. 2 o'clock, isn't it, Fudge? The black mustached man was fingering something in his belt. Harry looked and saw that he was running one broad thumb along the blade of a shining axe. Ron opened his mouth to say something, but Hermione nudged him hard in the ribs and jerked her head toward the entrance hall. Why'd you stop me? Said Ron angrily as they entered the great hall for lunch. Did you see them? They've already got the axe ready. This isn't justice. Ron, your dad works for the Ministry. You can't go saying things like that to his boss, said Hermione, but she too looked very upset. As long as Hagrid keeps his head this time and argues his case properly, they can't possibly execute Buckbeak. But Harry could tell Hermione didn't really believe what she was saying. All around them, people were talking excitedly as they ate their lunch, happily anticipating the end of exams that afternoon. But Harry, Ron, and Hermione, lost in worry about Hagrid and Buckbeak, didn't join in. Harry and Ron's last exam was divination, Hermione's Muggle Studies. They walked up the marble staircase together. Hermione left them on the first floor, and Harry and Ron proceeded all the way up to the seventh, where many of their class were sitting on a spiral staircase to Professor Trelawney's classroom, trying to cram in a last-minute bit of studying. She's seeing us all separately, Neville informed them as they went to sit down next to him. He had his copy of Unfogging the Future open on his lap at the pages devoted to crystal gazing. Have either of you ever seen anything in a crystal ball? He asked them unhappily. Nope, said Ron in an offhand voice. He kept checking his watch. Harry knew that he was counting down the time until Buckbeak's appeal started. The line of people outside the classroom shortened very slowly. As each person climbed down the silver ladder, the rest of the class hissed, What did she ask? Was it okay? But they all refused to say. She says the crystal ball's told her that if I tell you, I'll have a horrible accident, squeaked Neville, as he clambered down the ladder toward Harry and Ron, who had just now reached the landing. That's convenient, snorted Ron. You know, I'm starting to think Hermione was right about her. He jabbed his thumb toward the trapdoor of her head. She's a right old fraud. Yeah, said Harry, looking at his own watch. It was now 2 o'clock. Wish she'd hurry up. Her body came back down the ladder, glowing with pride. She says I've got the makings of a true seer, she informed Harry and Ron. I saw loads of stuff. Well, good luck. She hurried down the spiral staircase toward Lavender. Ronald Weasley, said the familiar misty voice from over their heads. Ron grimaced at Harry and climbed the silver ladder out of sight.
Harry was now the only person left to be tested. He settled himself on the floor with his back against the wall, listening to a fly buzzing in the sunny window, his mind across the grounds with Hagrid. Finally, after about 20 minutes, Ron's large feet reappeared on the ladder. "How'd it go?" asked Harry, standing up. "Rubbish," said Ron. "Couldn't see a thing, so I made some stuff up." "Don't think she was convinced, though." "Meet you in the common room," Harry muttered as Professor Trelawney's voice called. "Harry Potter." And I think we'll stop there. And next time we will see how Harry's divination exam goes, and maybe Trelawney will have a little extra something for us. I hope you like that, my boo. I can't wait to see you just in a few more days. Let's see each other this weekend, too. I love you so much. You're the sweetest girl ever.